You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We got soccer. We're going out with the people. He's making fun of me that my baseball uniform wouldn't fit anymore, which is probably true. There's a whole lot of stuff right there, Slee.
Okay, so I know you got an ego. I'm not saying it's a crazy ego, but you have enough of an ego. The fact that you continue to wear your jersey from Santa Barbara on our Zoom calls and keep reminding you were an athlete, you still are an athlete, your athleticism,
yes.
The fact that you do that every single show, it's getting a little, I don't know, I get it the first month, but we're 60 plus shows in, Trav.
I get it dry cleaned every day. I take it, the second we're done, I run up to the dry cleaner and I have them run it through the chemicals and then they press it and they give it to me back in the little plastic and then I have it ready for the next day.
Was this a wrinkle? There's a wrinkle. Run it through again.
It's a gaucho uniform, for goodness sake. Little respect. Little respect. No, if I tried to put on a pair of baseball pants right now, A, yeah. I don't think they make those that would fit. Mm-hmm. And then B, if I tried to go back and put on the pants that I wore when I was 23, nope, not happening. That is just not enough. The button would go flying across the room like a bullet. So somebody would get injured with that projectile that went off when I tried to button them.
You still doing skinny jeans? Is that kind of your thing?
Oh, yeah. That's just my normal wardrobe. That's just kind of how I roll week in and week out. I am excited. I am excited about our LAFC event that's coming up on Saturday night. And, you know, I'm a soccer neophyte, so I'm going to be asking whoever gets in, I need you to be a soccer person because I have a lot of questions that I'm going to be bothering you with during this thing because I want to learn. I want somebody to kind of walk me through this. I'm excited. I've been in the bank a few times. It's unbelievable. It's just an unbelievable stadium. But I'm really excited to get out and, like you said, just kind of be around the folks.
Well, it's kind of interesting, too, because – look, you and I are not, even though I did watch, which is kind of a little surprising here, I watched a lot of soccer this weekend. It's kind of an interesting weekend in sports. I'm not kidding. You had literally, okay, NBA Finals was probably the least exciting of all the events that went on this weekend. But you were talking about, you don't have to be a soccer fan Saturday at Bank of America to enjoy one of LA's best kind of sporting events, I guess you could say. So looking forward to that. And this will be our first event together where doing some stuff with the peeps.
Can't wait to do it. So if you're not sure exactly what we're talking about, we're hosting LAFC Suite Night, and you're invited to it. You can win a pair of suite passes to LAFC against Real Salt Lake. That is Saturday night, the 17th, Bank of California Stadium. The game's at 7:30, and you can win by participating in Ask Slee, 877-710-ESPN at 940. That's when we do Ask Slee. And if you have one of our best Ask Slees on the phone, you have a chance to win those suite tickets. So we're going to do that.
Or we'll sell them $49.99 a ticket. You could Venmo me directly.
And Al will autograph it, and it will go down to, $6 a ticket. So that's how that's going to go. All right. How was your weekend? Other than you watch soccer, did you have a good time? Did you get into anything exciting?
Nothing crazy. Did a little probably not the best idea. Did some dinner on Saturday night, like real Saturday night, like 7:30-ish, like around that time.
I know.
The adults are out. I don't know.
The non-senior citizen crew.
I don't know if Italian food's the best to do at 7:30 at night, 8 o'clock on a Saturday.
Did you go pasta? You did.
I ate more bread than you can possibly. Like, I could even see the waitress looking at me like, hey,
it's too much.
Listen, we got other people we got other customers coming in. Tomorrow's a Sunday. People are going to come again. So let's slow it down a little bit. Yeah, I had a lot of good carbs. And then you had the sports part of it, which Copa America, for anybody who watched that, was fantastic. Yeah, the Euro final yesterday. I know this sounds a little crazy, but when you're kind of, listen, there weren't that much sports going on. This is kind of what happens in the summer here. You start watching some of these other leagues.
Yeah, look, I'm a baseball guy, but at some point you can only watch so much baseball before you need to watch a little something else. I have a confession to make very quickly about the weekend. And well, I think you know this, but so I had a busy weekend, and I was out of town. And on late Friday night, I guess it was, late Friday night, I had not eaten in a while. And I said, you know what? You know what I'm going to do?
Yep.
I was up in Santa Barbara, and I said, I'm going to In-N-Out. And I went through the In-N-Out line at about, oh, I don't know what it was, 8:30, 9 o'clock. And I went as big as I have gone at In-N-Out in a very long time, and it was glorious. It made me it was almost an emotional experience to eat that much meat, cheese, and potatoes and pink lemonade in one sitting. It was very, very therapeutic. It was great. I loved it.
You sent me a text. Here's a photo. It's just a photo of the menu. As you're pulling through the drive-thru, and I just see your rear-view mirror, and that's it. That's all I see. And,
well, that's all that matters.
And your exact text, I've earned it. That's all you said. I've earned it.
I did. It was good, and I loved it, and it was a highlight.
You know when people say they've earned it. So somebody might have gone out and said they ran 10 miles, right? Like they've earned it. Like they did something along those lines. I got a feeling you weren't referencing what you did from a cardio perspective or anything
like
that.
Only 9.5 miles. All right. The ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear Hotline. Let's talk a little bit about the Dodgers. Let's get right into that because, you know, it's not the mathematical halfway point, but this is the de facto halfway point of the Major League Baseball season. The Dodgers are 56-35. Mm-hmm. Really good. You know, you're 21 games over 500. You've done some really good work. They have the second best record in Major League Baseball, which is really good. But they're also in second place in their own division. They're two games behind the San Francisco Giants. They had to pull one out of their backside to win yesterday, scoring six runs in the final two innings of the game. So just real quick, Slee, your takeaway from the first half of the season is what? Because if you just look at the numbers, it's pretty good. But the feeling that I have for this is, that should have been better than that.
That's probably the best way to describe it. A lot of ups and downs, right? Like every time you start thinking, okay, Dodgers are going to go on some type of a run, you kind of sit back, you start scratching your head like, what's going on? Why are they losing so much to the Padres? Or then you start even just look at these last few. Let's look at the last 8 or 9 games. Miami, you lose 3 of 4. Arizona, you know, it's funny. I really think this conversation would have been a lot different if they don't score 6 runs yesterday in the final two.
No question.
Because now all of a sudden you're saying that you lost 3 of 4 to Miami, and then you lost 2 of 3 against Arizona, who's not the worst team in baseball. They are by far the worst team in baseball,
yeah,
right?
They lap the field as worst team in baseball. They're dreadful.
But let's, you know, we'll stop for a second because I don't know if this is, I don't know if you got to be cautious when doing this, but the reality is you're right. The numbers look good. The reality is second best record in Major League Baseball. The reality is they've had injuries. Corey Seager has missed, you know, obviously a ton of time, and there's a little bit of an update on him. We know the storylines of what's happened to some of their starting pitcher, some of their starting pitching. We have no idea what's going to happen with Trevor Bauer. This has not been a regular season, right? Like this is Bellinger has been, you know, I know he was out for a lot, but he's been kind of a shadow of what he's been in the past. Mookie Betts just starting to get going now, but it's not like he's played unbelievable baseball. So you kind of walk away saying, you know, they're in a good spot, but the barometer is so high that unless they were just beating everybody by God knows how much, you almost feel like they've been a little underwhelming, and that's kind of crazy to say with the second best record of Major League Baseball.
It really is. They're 21 games over, and it feels like they're all right. I mean, we don't do that very often, where you look at a team that has the talent that they have, that has the roster flexibility that they have, that's won the amount of games that they have at 56-35, and you go, it's okay. And that's what it feels like. You know, Taylor, grab the Dave Roberts cut. We don't have to play the whole thing, but I want you to listen to the beginning of this because I think this is a good explanation of how you feel, Al, of how I feel, and how Dave Roberts feels. Take a listen to this.
I think good, not great. I think
and I think that's it right there. It was good, not great because of all the things that you mentioned. And here,
play the whole thing. It's 11 minutes. Play the whole thing.
it feels like they've got away with a little bit of something here in the first half, right? And not that they aren't good. It actually, like we talked about a minute ago, it feels like they should have more. But here's what's waiting for them on the other side. Mm-hmm. Cody Bellinger has not been good all season long. Cody Bellinger, for the most part last season, I know it was a weird year, wasn't very good. He hit a couple of very big home runs in the playoffs and World Series that kind of said, okay, great, there he is. He made an unbelievable defensive play against the Padres. He was certainly a contributor, so I don't want to make it sound like he wasn't valuable, because he was. But the MVP we saw three seasons ago, that guy's gone. Offensively speaking, that guy and that swing is gone. They need him. He's an MVP that's not playing like one. He's batting 176. That's terrible. And I understand that batting average is not the metric that we use. His slugging percentage is down. His OPS is down. He's not contributing offensively at all. And then on top of that is a guy that should be doing that. I think that's a big part and something to look at the second half of the season. That's something that is very, very disturbing to me. Still a great center fielder, still a guy that can run the bases really well, but he's not getting on base very much. This is a piece that I think we'll get to the pitching in a second, but you look at this and it's like, dude, what happened? Because and go back to, remember spring training, pre-pandemic spring training, right? Not the second spring training.
Yep.
He's like, well, I'm tweaking them, I'm working on my swing, I want to change a little. Why? And since that, we have not seen the guy that was one of the most dangerous players in baseball. That guy, if they're going to win the World Series again, they're either going to have to get more from other people or they're going to need him to turn back into Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, okay, big picture here, because of how much talent they have, because of how many different players can step up, because at some point Seager's going to be back, is Bellinger – I don't want to, you don't want to put everything on one person's shoulders. Of course, that's not how baseball works. You're not talking LeBron and the Lakers or something along those lines. But does he have to be – what does he have to be, you think, in order for the Dodgers, for you to feel more comfortable that, all right, this lineup is a much bigger threat with Bellinger just playing decent baseball rather than 176, like you said?
So if the MVP Cody Bellinger from a few years ago is a 10, okay, if that version of Cody Bellinger is a 10 – and this version of Cody Bellinger is a 2 or a 3.
Mm-hmm.
We need something
somewhere in the middle.
7, 6. Yeah. So something that he doesn't have to be 10 again, but because like you said, Mookie's there, JT's there, Max Muncy's having a monster season, AJ Pollock is hot, Albert Pujols has chipped in. We'll get to him in a little bit. I know that's something that we want to talk about. But he can't be a 2. If he performs at a 2, I don't even know if you can leave him in the lineup at a 2. For extended periods of time. If he continues to bat well under 200 with no off – I'm going to get inside baseball here for 10 seconds.
Do it.
If you're going to hit under 200, you better be hitting a truckload of home runs, just a truckload of them, right? That when you make contact, it better leave. That's not what's happening. He has a handful, but he's not knocking down walls with his power, and that's not happening. Then the other part of all this too, Al, is – their pitching has been fantastic this year. It really has. The starting pitching has been maybe a little bit less than we thought, but still very, very good. But what are we talking about? Kershaw down with an elbow or a forearm inflammation.
Yep.
Trevor Bauer is in legal limbo. We don't know what's going to happen with him moving forward. And that feels like there is no end in sight to that. That feels like it could be a really long time, maybe for good. Who knows, right? But May is hurt. Gonsolin pitched yesterday and was just kind of okay again. That part of this is a real concern going into the second half.
Yeah, that's the one thing, is that was the part coming into the year where you're like, what the hell do you do with this? I mean, how are you going to find you can't pick 5 starters out of this? Okay, you had your 3 down, but is David Price going to start? By the way, I think Price now will start getting more starts. But that's I think, the biggest question in the second half of the season. I know their bats, they'll go – 22 runs, and then they had one run who Mookie got in a leadoff yesterday, and then they didn't score again for 7 innings or whatever the game.
Yeah.
Right, they didn't score for 7 innings. So I know there's such an up and down on that part, but the how much of the backbone from a pitching perspective, that's my curiosity with this Dodgers team. Just curiosity, just as simple as this. Trav, one of the biggest additions that you brought, arguably the biggest additions in Trevor Bauer, there's a very big question mark what happens with him moving forward, and that will obviously trickle down to the rest of the team.
They're going to need David Price or Tony Gonsolin to figure out a way to pitch 5-plus innings, 6 innings on a regular basis, and so far that feels like a ways away. They're both – David Price has been better than Gonsolin. Don't make any mistake about that. But you can't; those guys can't go 3 innings, 4 innings in those starts.
Sure.
It puts an incredible amount of stress on the bullpen. All right, no stress tonight.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Ohtani and Home Run Derby. What is a success for him? What's a success for baseball when he shows up and tries to hit bombs at Coors Field? That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. I think we're okay for now, Slee. I think we're going to be here tomorrow, at least as far as I know. So we got at least another day.
I feel good about the rest of the. I feel good about the rest of the week because they still want to use us for Saturday. And then
right.
After the LAFC thing, got to get to that. And then after that, you know, everything's a question mark.
Yeah, like they say, we're all day to day, but aren't we all? That's the way that it goes. I know that you're super, super pumped up for the NBA Finals. Let's talk about the most important thing that I saw last night.
What'd you see?
NBA Finals.
Yeah, what'd you see?
David Bakhtiari consumed what looked to be north of 20 ounces of beer in about 3 seconds. Did you see that guy hammer that beer down on the sidelines? It was amazing.
It's funny. I'd heard you guys talking about that. I remember when – who was it? It was Aaron Rodgers and there was somebody else. And again, it was Milwaukee.
It was a Bucks game. It was Bakhtiari as well.
Was it him again?
I think so.
Yeah, they were competing against each other. It was first Bakhtiari and then, you know, Aaron Rodgers is right next to him. So the fans were like, Rodgers, go ahead.
Yep.
And, you know, in true Rodgers fashion, he failed to close the deal.
Rodgers, it took him the equivalent of what to take a normal human being. Like, he had to take a couple sips. He stopped. He took a breath.
He had to stop. That was the thing, right?
You got an old lineman that's, you know, basically taking this down like nothing. That's not a good – you don't want Vinatieri going up against an old lineman in a beer chugging contest.
Yeah. Somebody get Mason Crosby out there to go up against Bakhtiari in the chugging contest. I had very mixed feelings because – look, I'm not going to lie. I can do okay in that category. I can chug a few beers. Chris and I at our Travis Ireland golf event, we always chug a beer at one hole during the event, and
what's the game plan? Is that early on? Is it later? When is that?
Well, if I'm being perfectly honest, it's usually once we feel we have the match in the bag. So once we feel like we've got it locked down, we'll go to the chugging. So usually around, I don't know, the fourth hole. So something like that, it happens pretty early in the match. But as I'm watching this, I was equal parts like, dude, that is amazing how he can do that. And secondly, I think I could hang. And then lastly was, that's like $48 worth of beer that he just poured down his gullet in about 2 seconds. I know he makes NFL money, but arena beers are not cheap, and to chug them like that is aggressive.
An arena beer should be treated like a fine bourbon. You just really take your time. Every sip, just appreciate that Coors Light and just, oh, what a natural taste this is, because every sip that you take is $1.48.
Exactly right. Exactly right. All right, it's time for some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Home Run Derby tonight.
Yes, sir.
And I can't remember.
What time is that at? 5 o'clock?
I think so.
Okay.
I can't remember the last time that I was excited to see Home Run Derby for a specific reason, other than just, hey, it's on. It's kind of the first round of Home Run Derby is fun. It's when you get into round 68 that you're kind of like, all right, let's just put an end to this thing. But Ohtani, that's a game changer, because not only is he unique for all the reasons that we've discussed, he could hit a ball 500 feet tonight. Thin air, Colorado. Apparently, when the Angels have gone through Colorado in the past, he has put on such a prodigious display of home run power that he's hit balls to where we've never seen them before. And that's kind of – I don't care if he wins or not. I just want to see a couple balls fly 500 feet, and that feels like a win.
Well, I mean, just – it's kind of funny. Coming into Monday, you could not find a better – if I said, Trav, give me your top three or four storylines of the first half of the season. Forget the Dodgers. Just baseball in general. Ohtani is going to come up a couple times, right? Like it's not. Well, let me really give this some thought. And the fact that Ohtani is the story for these next couple of days is exactly how it should be. The fact that Ohtani is willing and able to say, "I want to be a part of the Home Run Derby. I want to be a part of these next 2 days. These activities that are just exhibition are not that important." Trav, this is going to bring a lot of casual fans to come watch these next couple of days because Ohtani is bringing casual fans to come watch baseball. And that, I think, is, you know, special in itself. And whatever happens today in the Home Run Derby, yes, would it be great for him to win it? Yes, would it be great to see a couple 500-foot, you know, home runs? All of that would be great, but it's all icing on the cake for what he's done so far.
Yeah, it's so – here's the question, though, Al.
Yeah.
And I'm curious what the baseball fans think, the Angel fans and Ohtani fans and just baseball fans in general, 877-710-ESPN. What's a successful home run derby for this guy? Because to me, the second somebody wins home run derby, it's forgotten. But before the guy's even walked back into the locker room, we forget who has won home run derby. Like,
yep.
I couldn't tell you who won it last year or the year mm-hmm. before. You know, I could, if you said to me, I could probably pull a few winners out of thin air. But
sure.
I don't really know or care who wins, but you do remember the show. I go back to, I think it was 98 or 99, and I was in Boston for the All-Star weekend mm-hmm. and Home Run Derby in Fenway Park when Mark McGwire hit a couple of balls that nearly landed
99.
On the freeway.
Yep.
And it felt like this – Mark McGwire was the biggest story in baseball coming in. Mm-hmm. He hits these home runs, and they were so prodigious and majestic and long. I know he didn't win the Home Run Derby. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who did. That's all I really want for Ohtani is just a couple of holy blank, did you see that? Mm-hmm. And then it's a win. Whatever happens after that, I don't think it really matters much.
It's interesting because I think when you put it that way, and there is something, there's the nostalgia too, Mark McGwire at Fenway, right?
Yeah.
Like there's the – that's a – really cool background, a really cool scene to kind of see it all happen there and take place. I know this is different. This is in Colorado, but I think, Trav, I think the – I really do mean this. I think no matter what happens today and whatever happens in the Home Run Derby, Shohei Ohtani has already – he sold me. Like, there's nothing Ohtani needs to do for me to be like, well, now that's even more of a success. But there's something to what you're saying. Can we walk away today with just a couple Ohtani highlights where SportsCenter saying, I don't care who the hell won and what happened. We're starting and finishing with Ohtani. That would kind of round up the first half of the season because of he's leading the Major League Baseball in home runs. He's been the storyline for how long now, literally from the start. Trav, remember when the season started, one of the things that you kept mentioning was, I feel bad for him because he's not going to get the publicity. It has not been a lack of publicity because of what he's done.
No, I'm looking at it right now on TV, and they just finished up talking about him again. It's publicity is one thing, and he's getting that. No question about it. But winning is another thing. The Angels have been playing better. For the last week or two, they've been playing a lot better, so they're kind of putting themselves back into the mix. We'll see what happens. But here there was a moment over the weekend that I thought was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
They're up in Seattle, and he gets called out on a called strike. It's a bad call. But the ball was way off the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And – instead of, you know, chirping at the umpire and you know,
getting himself thrown out. Yep.
Yeah, it was mm-hmm. – he kind of looks back at the guy and takes his hand and waves at him like, no, bro. Like, mm-hmm. just doesn't say a word but just shakes his hand like, no, that's not going to work. And it was like a moment, Al, because in that moment, you knew that he knew, dude – I'm Shohei Ohtani. I don't know who you are back there with the mask on and the blue shirt, but you mm-hmm. do understand that 98% of the people that are here to see me. You can't do that to me. I am important now. I am the guy that people are here to see, and he has such magnetism. He has such star power, and he did it in such a subtle way, just a no. I absolutely loved it, and it was that moment. It's like, oh, he gets it now. Like, he gets to tell the umpire, you don't get to hose me. Bad calls happen, but you better not do it to me. I'm the biggest guy in this whole building.
The ball was how far off the plate. You know, like, it wasn't even close. And I did love that he – yeah, kind of. You're right. Kind of made sure that ump knew. Yeah, that was way off as he kind of walked over. But you know, it's interesting, Trav. Like, star players. I'm going to use this as an example. Conor McGregor over the weekend,
yeah.
Right? Runs his mouth. That's kind of how. I'm not saying that he's. I'm not a UFC professional here, but I know Conor McGregor because he's an unbelievable fighter, but he runs his mouth. That's part of his brand.
Yeah.
LeBron James. An unbelievable, one of the greatest athletes. But LeBron James also, he's in front of a microphone. Ohtani is so unique that we are so caught up in Shohei Ohtani. And I don't remember the last time that I've, you know, sat back and listened to a 5-minute interview with Ohtani. And Ohtani's not somebody who's running his mouth. Ohtani is just literally coming to the plate. He's so unique. The fact that he pitches and he hits, what he's doing, his performance on the field is what has kind of drawn everybody towards him. But there's also, there's kind of maybe this mysteriousness, because you don't know him. You don't hear him on a night-in, night-out basis. You're not hearing long, extended interviews with him. That's part of the allure with Ohtani.
For sure. There's nothing. I don't want to say there's nothing there, because there's endless things there. But we don't – he doesn't speak English, or doesn't speak it well. None of us speak Japanese at all. So by the time you get it translated in the paper or online or whatever, it's kind of like gone. But – he just has this presence, this
does have
magnetism,
a presence.
Yep. this unbelievable star power. And here's the other thing that he does, and this is, I'm not comparing these two guys, but the other person that I've seen that was really good at this, and one of the reasons that I think not only was he one of the most popular athletes of his era, but continues to be one of the most popular people here in this town, is Magic Johnson. Magic Johnson played with such incredible joy, and ruthlessly competitive, and would absolutely do whatever it takes to win. But Magic played with a smile on his face. He played happy. He played that he was out there, and you could tell Magic loved playing basketball. Same kind of thing with Ohtani. Ohtani looks like he's having fun. Mike Trout is a great player, and Mike Trout is out there doing things that we really haven't seen very often. But it just feels like Mike Trout's out there because I was born to do this. I am a baseball player, and this is what I do, and I'm awesome, and I'm going to the Hall of Fame and all that. And Ohtani's like almost – can you believe this? How cool is this? Did you see how far I hit that? Did you see where that landed? Did you see me throw that split finger fastball? That guy missed that by 4 feet. Did you see that? That was awesome.
That's interesting. I like the Magic part of that, where Magic, the way he played the game, the smile on his face, and then he went out there and sliced and diced you. But there's something to that.
Let's try a quick phone call here. Let's go to Walnut and Lee. Lee, you're on with Travis and Sliwa. What's up, Lee?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
I know baseball's been in a decline. A lot of media said that. But do you think Ohtani, because I go to the Sports Center every day to kind of check and see what he's done, whether it's pitching or hitting. You think he's kind of resurrecting that and kind of saving it? That was my question.
Yeah, thanks, Lee. I don't know. First of all, I would push back a little bit on that baseball needs saving. Baseball's healthy. I mean, the economics of baseball are healthy, and everybody says baseball's getting too old, and it's only old white guys that watch it. And look, there are a lot of old white guys that watch baseball, don't get me wrong, but go to a ball game, there's people from all over the place, and there's young kids and there's young people. Going to a baseball game is fun. But to your larger point, Lee, yeah. Anytime somebody says to you, Al, do you want to see something you've never seen before? The answer is always yes. Yeah, what do you got? Well, I got this dude.
I think the point to take away from that is, okay, baseball could be healthy, right, economically. But maybe stall is the right word? Like, it's just stalling. Like, it's not – you don't feel like it's growing. You don't feel like just a home that's been sitting there, it needs kind of, okay, how can we rejuvenate? Yeah, renovate it, something along those lines. NFL, I feel like it's picking up people every single year. NBA, probably more of the growth is coming globally, right? Like, there's different parts of the world that are being more and more attracted to it's becoming more of a global game. Baseball needs something like this. It could be fine. It could be healthy. It could have all the people that you're talking about. But is the sport actually growing? Is it grabbing people, different parts of the country or different parts of the world or different ethnicities that are kind of, I guess you could say, being attracted more? I'm more attracted to baseball today than I was last season. Maybe a lot of that does have to do with Ohtani. Maybe it's a different storyline. So I think it's a fair point to make that he's helping grow the sport. He's not the foundation of the sport, but he can help grow it.
All right, that's Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Slee, yesterday was the 25th anniversary of one of the greatest moments in Laker history. We'll tell you what it is next. That's coming up. It's Travis and Slee, 710 ESPN. So?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are you the mountain of Parmesan cheese guy, Al? Is that your deal?
Why don't you guys leave the cheese here? Leave the grater here, too.
Can you go back to the wheel and break me off a larger wedge so I have enough parm to get through the rest of this meal?
If just they say when happening. And you never say when, he just keeps going, keeps going.
It just keeps going. Never Trav, I just actually asked it. Put the block of cheese on top of the pasta. Just put the whole thing just right on top of there.
Why not? Why not? It's good. What was the entree? You said you ate a lot of bread, but what was the main course?
I do this sometimes. I'll say, what do you guys think? Right? Like, is there a recommendation that you have?
I like that, by the way. That's a strong play. I like
that. I'll get their recommendation. They had some dish. It had their Italian sausage plus their their meatballs, but kind of more smaller kind of meatballs. Basically a mix of all these meats that you could think of under pasta. I mean, like, you can't go wrong with that.
That sounds pretty good.
You know, it was good. It's just – and then
we did a little red sauce on that, or we just do a little olive oil? What are we doing?
Red sauce. And then you have
as Chris calls it, the gravy. It's the gravy. You got to get
the gravy. Bread sauce. But here's the thing. There was calamari before that. There was another plate that had some bread and ham and a couple other items. I pretended like a Caesar salad was going to be part of the mix. Maybe 3-4 bites. Let's get the bread going again. Like, it was just not good, Trev.
I feel like you and I have become closer in the last 3 minutes. I feel like you and I are starting to understand
here's the difference.
Each other a little bit better. This is exciting to me.
Here's the difference. You walk away with...
Exactly. So many activities.
The difference is you walk away feeling good about yourself. I walk away like, Al, what are you doing? What is it?
What are you trying to
accomplish? This is embarrassing. This is embarrassing. You're on radio. People are going to hear you.
This is me. I'm a little bit older than you. Yeah. Just muscle through that. Just keep going.
Muscle through the negativity.
Just eventually the self-loathing will turn into, I can eat that. you'll get there. I'm proud of you. Good job.
No, I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
Travis and Slee is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. And don't forget, so here's what's coming up. Ask Slee is coming up next segment, and we're going to use Ask Slee to give away a pair of sweet passes to the game coming up this weekend, LAFC versus Real Salt Lake. That is on Saturday, July 17th at Pekka California Stadium at 7:30. And you're going to want to call in with your Ask Slee, 877-710-ESPN. We're doing that next segment, and you can give us the best Ask Slee, and we'll pick a winner. And then you get to hang out with me and Slee and Emily and all the crew. We're going to be at the game with you guys in the suite, and it should be awesome.
I'm excited. This is fantastic, Trev. We did on Friday, coming off the eve of the spelling bee. We took callers, and they had to spell, you know, certain last names. I think we had Sasha on there, Vujicic, right? You had to spell that. We did, what are some of the other couple names?
Antetokounmpo?
No, we didn't do that because we thought it would be too hard. I think we did... I can't remember, Emily, off the top of my head. I don't think we did Medvedenko, but we did a couple of these like tougher ones to spell.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Oh, we did Schroeder.
That's got that weird E in it.
Oh, no, yep. I asked you Ben Roethlisberger. I don't think they answered Ben Roethlisberger themselves.
Schroeder.
Oh, no, we did
Schroeder.
Yannick Ngakoue. Yep.
That's right. Oh, that's another one.
No chance.
Okay,
there.
So here's a great
did
thing.
Did they have to get the umlaut in Schroeder, the little dots over the O?
Of course they did.
I just wanted to say umlaut. That's all I really wanted to do.
Trav, 100%, whatever our winners were on Friday, 100% they cheated. Like, I just want their honesty coming up on Saturday. I had people tweeting me like, Al, do you really think they knew how to spell that, or do you think they cheated? I'm like, no, they 100% cheated. It was like a 10-second thing. They were buying time. And anyways, they're coming with us on Saturday.
Believe it or not, 25 years ago on Sunday, yesterday, was the day that the Lakers signed Kobe Bryant. 25 years ago. Isn't that hard to believe? Because Kobe was so much a part of this city and so much a part of the sports fabric of this city, really from the moment that he showed up. Because, you got to go back to when Kobe was selected out of high school. That was still pretty unusual. It wasn't something that had become totally mainstream. It was still a bit of a gamble. And when Charlotte picked
a big
him,
gamble, we never talk about players that got selected from high school. It just never panned out, never made it. Rob, you know, we're out of the league in how many years?
It happened a lot. It wasn't unprecedented, but to have been a high school player, to go to the and keep in mind, this is one of the things that I find most interesting about Kobe.
Yep.
Is he was well aware of his genius before anyone else was. He knew he was different than every other player long before we had come around to see it his way. Remember, it was, dude, you got to pass the ball. Dude, you can't take that shot. Dude, you got to assimilate into the NBA. You have to make sure that your teammates like you. You have to make sure that, you know, that Shaq is buying into what you're doing. All of these things. And it was like, no, bro, watch this. And we didn't understand it until he'd been in the league a handful of years. And it's like, ooh, he was right. He is different than everybody else. He was so far ahead of everybody else. In retrospect, it's kind of amazing to look at.
We get stuck in Kobe. We get stuck in those years where they're winning championships, the Kobe and Shaq days. And then we get stuck in the era of him winning, you know, two championships with Pau Gasol. Mm-hmm. I encourage Laker fans, go YouTube Kobe in his rookie year. You know, we're talking about 25 years ago. When he just checks in the fans, like, oh, that's our guy, right? Like, yeah. There's a young kid coming out of high school. Lakers traded for him. You know, obviously gave up Vlade Divac. Go look at Chick Hearn having a conversation with Kobe Bryant his rookie year. Like, it's really, really cool to see Kobe back in the days. You know, I always say this, one of my favorite moments of Kobe in his career, that first playoff series against the Utah Jazz, and had the you-know-what to say, nobody else wants to take it. Eddie, you don't want to take the shot. I'll take the shot. Misses it. I'll take it again. I'll take it again. It's like that's so uncommon in sports where somebody that young 25 years ago kind of takes you back to those times.
He was different than everyone else when it came to self-confidence and understanding what he was capable. I remember the All-Star game, right, where he waved off Karl Malone like, dude, get out of my way. I got this. Watch this. And everybody's like, kid, pump the brakes. You understand that's Karl Malone. He's going to the Hall of Fame. You need to chill out.
Kobe's like, yeah, I know. No, I know that. I know what that is.
we were wrong. He was right. We were wrong. He was right when it comes to that. Just an extraordinary player. And we'll talk more about that because 25 years ago, Kobe signed with the Lakers. We got more of that coming up. But you got a chance to go to the suite with us on Saturday night to see LAFC and Real Salt Lake. And on top of that, it's Ask Slee. Make the calls 877-710-ESPN. You can still send the tweets. Hashtag them Ask Slee. That's coming up next. It's Travis and Slee on 710-ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Everything right there was true, but one thing was left out. It is Travis Rogers' favorite segment on the station. It is the favorite segment on our show. Ask Slee. Look forward to it every single time. Don't forget, today we're doing it a little bit different. We've got giveaways. We're going to give away a pair of suite passes to go watch LAFC and Real Salt Lake on Saturday night, and you can hang out with me and Slee as well. We're going to be there. Let's start right here. Ooh, this could be a winner right out of the gate.
Okay, what do you got?
Francis in Glendale is going first. Francis, what's your Ask Slee for today?
Hey, party people. I have two of them. The first one is, from freshman through senior year at UCSB, how many extra holes did Trev punch in his baseball belt? And the second one is, why does Bucks coach Mike Budenholzer always look like he just fell for another Ponzi scheme? I'll take your answers off there. Thank you.
Thank you,
Francis. It's look, it's a good question. The Ponzi scheme that he's referring to, it's like the pyramid, right? Like, you know, you got that guy, and he was
– all you
got
to do is find two more guys, and you make your money back. Just two.
Can't you see – Budenholzer being in one of those, just kind of those conversations like, no, I think we could do this. So wait a minute. So if I come in, all I got to do is get Middleton, Holiday, and Giannis in on this, and then I could also reap the benefits of this timeshare?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that happens regularly with Coach Bud. I think that that's something that he probably struggles with.
I don't think Francis even had a question. I just think those were more.
Well, you didn't answer the first question. That actually
I didn't even hear the first one. What was the first one?
The first question was, during my tenure at UCSB,
yeah,
how many additional holes did I have to punch in my belt between my freshman and sophomore and senior year? So
By the time you get to the senior year, we're doing no belt. I don't need a belt. I don't need a belt. No belt.
Elastic
and I'm
waistband.
And I'm unbuttoning. I'm always zipping up. That's it. Nothing else.
The answer to the question, Francis, was we would get a new belt every year, so I didn't have to punch a hole in the old one. So there. So make sure that he doesn't win, Al, because I don't like that question, though. That's good stuff. All right, let's go to a next one. Let's go to Glendale again. How about this? We're blowing up in Glendale, Al. Ralph in Glendale. Ralph, you're on Ask Slee. What's up?
Hello, guys. How you doing?
All right.
Good, man. Thanks, Ralph.
Anyways, when LeBron was first going to sign that contract with the Lakers or whatever team, it was kind of rumors that he had hopes of someday playing with Bronny
on
a pro game. Does the mathematics work with us, with our contract with him? Is Bronny close to graduating from high school?
So I think he had to go – Ralph, stay on hold here for a quick second. I think he had to go – if I'm right on this, Trav, didn't he have to go 5 years with the Lakers in order for that to match up?
Yes.
And he's 3 years into his contract, signed that two-year extension. So technically, yes, that can happen. The question is going to come to Trav, is Bronny good enough to play in the NBA? I don't know. I'm not watching Bronny. I have no idea what's going on there.
Yeah.
No idea what's going on there. What do you think? Ralph coming in?
I don't know.
Let's keep moving. Keep going.
Hopefully we do. Keep in mind, the better ones are, is Mike Budenholzer going to fall for a Ponzi scheme? That's what we're looking for here. Let's go to Los Angeles and Antonio. Antonio, you are on Ask Slee. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, guys. How are you? Antonio from Los Angeles. Okay, so I have a record of chugging a 12-ounce beer in about 4.55 seconds. Question is, on Saturday, when I'm there, because I'm going to win tonight, this morning, when I'm there, are you willing, and also Trav, are you guys willing to do a beer-chugging contest for a 12-ounce beer versus me, the king?
I'm 100% in on that. Yes, Antonio. Al, what do you think?
Antonio, we'll see you on Saturday, bro. We'll see you on Saturday.
There you go. Stay on the line, Antonio. You didn't even have to – all you had to do was challenge us to a drinking contest, and apparently that – that was good enough to get it done. Can you
first of all wait? Let me just say this. Let me just say this. I don't know the last time. I think we've even talked about this, didn't we? Talk about like the last time that we chugged down a beer. Mm-hmm. So it's going to get messy. It's not going to be pretty, but we're up for it. I get to just chug a beer at an LAFC game. That sounds in a suite. Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good scenario right there.
Twist my arm. To try to
By the way, I love how Antonio came in. Like, since I'm going to be there on Saturday. With you clowns, let's go ahead and have a beer chugging contest. Okay, bring him in. He can
confidence
come in.
Is very, very appealing. You knew this guy was going to come in. Love it, love it, love it. Manuel in Gardena. Manuel, you are on Ask Slee. What's up, Manuel?
All right, first, real quick, Travis the Southie and Bobbert Kraft are keepers, all right? All right, if there's no way around being maimed, all right, Slee, mm-hmm. Would you rather go JPP 7.5 and lose it in a firecracker incident or go Munson / Duff the Cake Boss and lose those 2.5 digits in a bowling return accident? I mean, either way, you're a dope. But which one is it? I want to ask Sliwa.
All right. Thank you, Manuel. All right. So, Trev, fill me in here. The last one that he said.
What he's asking is, you know, Jason Pierre-Paul blew off some fingers in a fireworks.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then the other one is he's talking about Roy Munson from Kingpin who lost his hand in a bowl where the bowling ball comes out.
Right.
If you have to lose fingers, you have to blow them off with fireworks or have them torn off in a bowling alley return. Those are your two picks.
I'm going the fingers got to go. Fingers got to go. I got to keep the arm here. Got to keep the arm here.
So you're going JPP?
Yeah, going JPP.
I think that's the right answer. I think that because, look, that is you light it, boom, oh, my gosh, my fingers are gone, as opposed to it's slowly grinding your hand down through the bowling thing. I think that's the right answer. That was a good one. Manuel, let's try another one here. Let's go to Compton and Ron. Ron, you are on Ask Slee. What's up?
Hey, Slee.
What's going on, Ron?
Hey, question.
Okay.
A role for you, would you be interested in being the new Get Smart, Maxwell Smart? Just wondering.
Hashtag Ask Slee.
I appreciate you calling in. Would I be interested?
Do you know Get Smart, Al? Do you know that show?
This is something I want to say Michael brought up a while back.
I'm not surprised. I'm sure he did, because that is right in Michael's wheelhouse. That is a campy sitcom from the 1960s. So that is the sweet spot for Michael Thompson. It was Don Adams played Maxwell Smart, who was like a bumbling secret agent. It was rebooted with Steve Carell in a movie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Carell did do that.
So will version 3 of Get Smart feature Alan Saliwa?
I don't think so, Trav. I just don't have the background on it. I got to leave it to somebody that knows more about the sitcom than I do. So I'm just saying no go. No go for me.
All right. So so now we need to pick winners. You have your choice. You have Francis, you have Antonio, and you have Manuel. Those, I think, are the three best options right there.
All right, listen, if Manuel's available, got to get Manuel in the house. Okay. The guy's been listening to us since we started doing this, obviously a fan of the show. So if Manuel, if he can make it, and then, of course, Antonio, we already made the decision that Antonio's coming.
There you go.
There's our two right there.
Antonio and Manuel are our winners, so there you go. That's a good way. But here's the good news. We're giving away tickets all week long, so we have more tickets to give away. So make sure that if you didn't win, and Francis, I feel like maybe you got a job there a little bit, so we're going to see what we'll do. Ask Slee again coming up on Wednesday.
We'll take care of Francis. Slee, don't worry. Francis is consistent here. We'll take care of him.
But it's your segment. You get to decide. You get to pick, and that's how it goes.